Hey guys, before we start episode 13, I just want to say that I was super busy this week, and I wasn't sure how I was going to make everything work, you know, with the music and the podcasting and all that, but Miss Lisa Bunny stepped right up and just totally saved us this week, so please give a shout out. She's the one who edited this episode. I think she did a pretty great job. Also, she's the one who came up with a brilliant, I cannot believe we didn't think about this for 13 episodes. Lisa figured out, hey, what if we took the collar off of Hector? Then you won't hear him running around being a puppy dog in the background, rattling his dog tags. So, if you missed the dog tags, it's because Lisa Bunny was smarter than everybody in the room and took his collar off. Finally. This is going to be awesome. Check it out. Episode 13.
Activating jump drive.
Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Nick, Lisa, and Amber.
Welcome to Jump Drive Radio. Thanks for tuning in again. Here we are, lucky number 13. So I'm sure you've found us either by jumpdriveradio.com or probably most likely iTunes. I don't know why iTunes has taken over the entire podcasting sphere.
Did they start the podcast?
Well, I guess sort of, kind of, because it's named after the iPod, so podcast. All right, from here on out, this is not a podcast. This is a...
Audiocast.
An audiocast or an internet radio show.
I like the internet radio show.
Internet radio cast?
Internet radio cast? Yeah. We'll come up with a plan.
We could just call it Jump Drive Radio and be done with it.
I like where your head's at.
Well, how do you describe it when people ask you about, like, what you're listening to or what you're, you know, performing at or whatever?
I call it a podcast.
Yeah, I just call it...
Well, see... I started saying podcast thinking that other people would know what I was talking about, but as it turns out, a lot of people really don't understand. They think you need an iPod to listen to an MP3 of what we're doing here. So that's why I started calling it. Well, it's like the radio just on a website or on iTunes that you can download to your phone or your, you know, your MP3 player or whatever.
Well, I think a good way to kind of spread the word of a podcast is to download Jump Drive, put it in a CD, and give it to someone.
Yeah. That's something we have.
Doing that, yeah.
We have talked about that before. If you pick, they're usually somewhere between a half hour and an hour long. Mm-hmm. So pick like your favorite three episodes. You know, you can get them at Jump Drive Radio, jumpdriveradio.com. There's an episode button. You just click the link, and you'll see all of them. Including number 13. But you can download them all and burn two or three of them to disk.
Yep.
Disks are what, like 4 cents now?
It's something. That.
Yeah. So give them
just email it to somebody. You know, just it's a downloadable radio show. Just
See,
email
if
it to somebody.
If people don't have an MP3 player, I mean, if you give a CD of it to people who don't have an MP3 player or don't, you know, listen to their laptops all the time, my sister doesn't have an MP3 player, and she rarely has time to listen, you know, turn on the laptop, and so I've been thinking I need to make her a CD.
Just like a mix.
Yeah.
A Jump Drive mix.
The best of Jump Drive. That's every episode. What are you talking about?
How can you choose?
I can't fit every episode on one CD. I don't know what the problem is. Best of Jump Drive is not working out for me. And since we come out with a new one every week, it's definitely hard to make up a CD of Jump Drive.
MP3s couldn't be that bad. I mean... Well, I guess it would be a lot bigger than,
You can burn those MP3 discs. I know my car has got an MP3 disc.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. So you could feasibly get them all 13 of them so far. You could feasibly get them all on a disc, but then you have to have a special player. And if she doesn't have an MP3 player, like a standalone headphone kind of deal, I doubt she's got the CD player that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I could loan her my MP3 player, but she's got two kids. And
or possibly...
It's sticky.
Somebody can go to the forums and say, hey, I will spend $13 at Kmart and buy her an MP3 player.
That's right. My sister and her kids need to hear Jump Drive Radio. Need to hear Amber being censored.
Exactly.
One of the things we're really excited about here at Jump Drive Radio is the Gem City Comic Con.
Con?
Con!
That would be be the comic convention that's happening here in Dayton on April 3rd.
That's right, April 3rd. It's going to be happening here in Dayton. Actually, it's over at Wright State University, I believe,
yeah,
isn't it?
If you're familiar with the student union. Yeah.
So, which should be awesome. That's a huge space. There's all kinds of activities and things to do. You'll just have to see. You'll just have to go and see it. For all of you, our cheap listeners, don't worry. If you got kids or clones.
Or spawn.
Wait, do clones count? Well, I guess it's age-based, right?
Yeah. Right, I think so. I'm not sure how you can determine how old a clone is.
How?
I'm pretty sure you cut them in half and check the rings.
Trees and clones.
Exactly.
All so right. One way or the other, if they're under 10, they get in for free. Otherwise, you will be paying $6. Six measly dollars just to get in to catch all the collectibles, all the back issues, all the graphic novels.
Unless you're a student, and then you can get in with your student ID for $5.
Or just enroll like for a quarter at Sinclair, drop the classes, get the refund, then get in for $5. And you'd be surprised how many student discounts there are around Dayton. I'm majoring literally in student discounts right now.
It's like the entertainment book that it keeps giving.
That's right. We here at Jump Drive like to educate you on how to commit fraud. Mm-hmm. Fraud for movie tickets and, you know, conventions and things.
Exactly.
Nothing important.
Like the preceding opinions and characterizations in no way reflect Jump Drive Radio.
Jump Drive Radio, for those of you listening in your cars.
So one way or the other, Gem City Comic Con, please come check us out. We're actually going to be doing some man-on-the-street type interviews. Plus, there's a huge roster of artists and writers and all kinds of stars in the comic world. It's going to be great. Check them out if you have any questions. Just Google Gem City Comic Con, G-E-M, like the gemstone, Gem City Comic Con, or gemcitycomiccon.com. Or you can go to jumpdriveradio.com and just click the link.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. I don't think any of us have ever been there. It's been going on for a few years, but I've never been there.
Right. Yeah, actually, I've heard of it, but this is the first year that I'm actually going to get to attend because my schedule's open enough to actually make it there. So
yeah, I'm really excited. I don't go to a whole lot of conventions. I go to Dragon Con every year down in Atlanta, and that is huge.
Yeah, well, that's almost as big as like the one out west.
Like San Diego Comic-Con, yeah. But I think Dragon Con has a lot more cosplayers. It's essentially a cosplay convention. It's sci-fi and fantasy, but, I mean, it's probably 60-70% of the attendees are in costume.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's always a lot of fun. And they've got some really good guests this year. They've got Leonard Nimoy's going to be there. William Shatner's going to be there. A lot of the cast of Buffy.
That's all that matters, really.
Yeah.
Those two.
Well, yeah,
exactly. Honestly, that's worth the price of admission.
The only thing that would make it better is if George Takei showed up.
I know, right?
Oh my.
I know also from Trek, Kate Mulgrew is going to be there. You've got an interest in Kate Mulgrew. I've never seen her live, but I liked her on Voyager. Unpopular opinion, but I liked Voyager. I liked her.
It was okay.
She did a decent job, and a lot of people from BSD are going to be there. The guy that played Colonel Ty, the guy who played Colonel Agathon Hilo.
Okay.
Lucy Lawless?
Not so far. Lame. Amazing. Everything sucks without Lucy Lawless.
Why aren't you Wonder Woman yet? Please?
We got her in Flight of the Conchords. You just have
she
to
was
be
that's
there.
True. No, she was on Flight of the Conchords.
She's on for one episode where they have people coming from New Zealand to actually make New Zealand town instead of like Chinatown or Little
second
Italy.
Second season, isn't it?
Yeah, second season.
That's awesome.
So the president of New Zealand shows up, and then she shows up. And yeah, it's a great episode.
She's also on that show that Larry David does. It's similar to
Everyone 2000?
Yeah. She's on that for a couple episodes.
Right? Everybody has been on that show.
I was
on
it.
Yeah.
That was my favorite episode.
With Lucy Lawless?
No, the one with Nick.
Oh, okay.
It was, yeah.
That was how we hired you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
It was also Nick's favorite episode.
Season 5, episode 13. Watch it. I'm on it. Look for me. Post on the forums with the picture.
All right, we will post the picture of Nick and his big television debut on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's right.
JumpDriveRadio.com. Be looking for it. Tell us more about Dragon Con. I've never actually gotten to go to like a giant con like that with people dressed up in costumes. I did attend the Baron's Ball, but that's a whole different thing.
There was a lot of people dressed up in costumes.
That was fabulous,
by the way. It was a successful evening.
Yes, it was. We had a great time.
Dragon Con is it's a whole different experience. It's packed. There's people everywhere. If you're a geek, going in there and knowing that everybody in there is also a geek is sort of a surreal experience. It can be a little overwhelming, but I've been going for the last 6 years. There's panels for everything you can think of, for comics, for TV shows, for individual TV shows. They've got a whole Whedonverse track.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, the Whedonverse track is probably the most popular because you've got, well, I don't know if it's the most popular, but it's very popular. You've got Firefly and Buffy, and I think my first year, Nathan Fillion was there, Alan Tudyk was there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just all, a lot, Morena Baccarin, Jewel State, everybody's really funny. A lot of the tracks take questions from the audience, so you can go up and you can ask people, the actors questions about their experience. They're almost always really funny. It's a heavy drinking crowd most of the time.
Which is always fun.
I mean,
that may keep it from being so weird and hierarchical.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
the right word. I think it probably does. Because, especially if you've got... There's a lot of geeks that have social anxiety issues, especially the more hardcore geeks. And if they're drinking away their social anxiety issues...
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's a weird thing that, like... quote-unquote, unpopular people in high school, nerds, geeks, things, spazzes, whatever you want to call them, they're picked on by the hierarchy of high school. And so as soon as they go out into the real world and form their own little subcultures, then suddenly there's some that rise to the top as bullies, and then there's the very thing that they complained about, they recreate in their own world. So I guess that's what I would be worried about, except then, you know, the great social lubricant of alcohol maybe.
Interesting because during the day you've got the daylight hours where you've got a bunch of people in costumes, but there's more, you know, there's kids around, you know, for the most part people are fairly calm. It's still really crowded and, you know.
Okay, so it's a whole family event thing.
It's a whole...
Because when you say there's a heavy drinking crowd,
I think towards the evenings are that way, and then there's, like, parties. I'm not familiar, like, I've never been to Dragon Con, but I used to have a lot of friends that were really into anime, and they dragged me out a couple times, and I got more and more interested in it, even though I wasn't a very big anime fan myself.
Yeah.
The events are fun. The shopping is fun. The, you know, collectibles. If you just want cute, ridiculous-looking Japanese plushes, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be up at 3 a.m. with a bunch of nerds in a big video room watching old Japanese live-action samurai movies, at least you're not doing this alone in the comfort of your living room.
Yeah.
And the parties are nice, too. But in general, like, it's kind of a different thing in the evening, you know, and there's, like, dance parties and things like that, usually.
Yeah, it's a different atmosphere. During the day, people may be, some of the people may be somewhat intoxicated, but nobody, for the most part, is acting out or acting drunk or anything like that. People may have a fairly pleasant buzz on, but after 7 p.m., you've got people who are, you know, you're whipping out the sluttier costumes, you know, and everybody's, yeah.
How late do these go?
All day.
Is it probably, like 24 hours a day?
Yeah, it can be 24 hours a day if you want it to be.
The ones I went to, like, they'd have events going through the evening, night. And then
movie showings and dancing, and, you know, you can make it go as late or as early as you want.
It's cool. It's a cool experience.
These dance parties, kind of risque?
From anime conventions?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, a little bit. But more like a techno...
Yeah. But
it depends on how many Slave Leias show up.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of Slave Leias at Dragon Con. But, you know, when I went dancing this last year, I danced till probably 6 a.m., and stripper
poles. That's good cardio right there.
It's not like people dancing on stripper poles or anything. There's just, you know, there's good DJs and there's...
That's true. Does it count if you're, like, in a small room with strange boys playing Dance Dance Revolution until 6 a.m.? Is that the theme kind of dance party?
There are definitely people doing that at Dragon Con.
It's an addictive game.
But they also, you know, they also open up some of the bigger ballrooms for, like, 80s nights. And
wow. I mean, so this is...
Yeah, I mean, there's real dance parties. Which you don't have to go to. You can stay in your room, or you can go, you know, do the late night movie showings. There's Rocky Horror Picture Show. There's Buffy Horror Picture Show, which is... there's Dr. Horrible sing-alongs. I mean, anything you can think of. There's.
I would actually participate in the Dr. Horrible sing-along.
It's awesome. I mean, they're fun.
I'm excited. I'm really excited to go this year.
Yeah. So hopefully at least Miss Lisa and I will be there this year.
But it'd be nice to get a couple, you know.
It would be nice.
A nice group going, and we'll definitely post some pictures and, you know, maybe take some video or something of the event. Although, we'd really recommend you come out and join us.
Yes.
It'd be fun to, you know, have some of our fans out there with us and taking the whole experience as well, so.
Yeah, and the website for DragonCon is just dragoncon.org.
I'm sure we can put a link on our website. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as a practice for DragonCon, there's always the GCCC, Gem City Comic Con, April 3rd.
come get your con experience in for the beginning of the year, and then decide if you want to go towards the end of the year.
That's a good point. We should put together like a jump drive travel package where
that would be amazing. It'd be like, that would be fun.
Little energy drinks and like deodorant and like what else? Like,
wait.
For convention.
This is Comic Con. I don't think they let deodorant in, right?
I bring deodorant.
Yeah, but be honest.
I wouldn't say it's the majority that have an issue with that.
My mom is going to have to go ahead and confiscate that.
I detect deodorant on you.
Ma'am, I'm not sure you belong here. You smell way too pretty.
They need to have some, like, cosplayers who force deodorize people.
I've seen that kind of thing before.
There are at least two cosplayers, hot girls in corsets and trench coats, who their trench coats are lined with, like, the sample-size deodorant. Mm-hmm. And they'll just walk around handing it out to people.
So, like, that is part of the convention experience, yeah.
I've got it. If I went, I would dress as the Joker, and I'd have the big, ridiculous flower. And my Joker gas would be, like...
Body spray.
It would be, like, Axe.
Aerosol deodorant.
Oh god, the Axe stuff about chokes me out, and I don't have asthma or anything, but I almost got it just from being around my brothers in their teen years.
I don't know if chokes me out is the right phrase.
Obliterates my lungs. Obliterates my capacity for intake of oxygen, I guess, more accurately.
Yeah, I get a migraine from the Axe stuff.
Two brothers in high school, just they bathed in it all the time. Like what is it? Yeah, like double pits to chesty. Like they didn't understand. Like they were all over. Like, oh my goodness. So I had to open a window and leave the house sometimes because they'd both be getting ready to go out to the parties. Axe deodorant body spray chokes women out.
That's the impression I've gotten from the commercials. Yes.
TM. I see that coming.
So moving along, though, like we're very excited about Jam City Comic Con, and we'd love for you to join us as well. So.
And Dragon Con.
And Dragon Con, absolutely.
Because you know, here at Jump Drive Radio, we love dragons.
Speaking of dragons,
Dragon Age 2 comes out next week.
That's right.
I'm so excited.
I got my copy pre-ordered. I'm picking it up midnight on Monday or Tuesday, whenever it comes out. Tuesday.
Oh, release?
Yes.
What kind of pre-order bonuses are they offering?
Do you get something special?
Yes, you get the main guide. You get two bonus weapons, and I think there was something else.
Was it soundtrack? It was something else like that.
It was something, and it's the collector's edition that you get for the original price.
Okay.
So I've got it pre-ordered. I can't wait.
Like a controller skin, something like.
I don't know. I don't think a controller skin.
That's really rare that I've seen the controller skins. I see more like big collector's edition guidebooks or something like that packaged with their soundtracks.
Collector's edition.
Sometimes figurines, which I'm fine with that.
My buddy's got a big, huge Halo helmet
that you can store the game in it or DVDs or something.
The Arkham Asylum collector's edition came with batarangs.
Ooh, I have razor sharp batarangs in my closet. I keep meaning to murder somebody and make it look like Batman did it.
Razor sharp batarangs.
Oh, they're sharp.
Murder someone.
No, sharp.
Hold on.
Like the news crew will be there, like, well, obviously Batman did this.
That's how much you do this. Murder someone. Leave Batman memorabilia here.
Batman is really famous for his murdering.
Well, obviously it's an evildoer if Batman murdered him.
Yes, well, it's a Batman knockoff.
But, you know, like an ex-boyfriend or something, and then, like, well, Lisa Bunny couldn't have done this because she's not Batman. Like, why would she have batarangs?
Well, you know what the difference between you and Batman really would be.
He doesn't typically murder people.
That and he's not wearing hockey pants.
You think he talks that way because of the Axe deodorant spray he wears?
Yes. No, it's the Bat deodorant spray.
Oh, right.
Right beside his handy shark repellent spray.
He's right on his utility belt.
Awesome.
I need to get me a can of shark repellent. I feel like I don't need it on a day-to-day basis, but when I do need it, I'm going to, you know.
You're going
to
be sad you don't have it.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot believe I left this at home today.
I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Did you ever wonder how that worked? That turns out to be a mechanical bomb shark. Like, and it,
so why would his repellent work on a fake shark?
Why would it work on... Was he underwater at the time?
No, he's hanging on the... Okay, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the 1966 Batman, Adam West, like, tongue-in-cheek...
Movie,
right. He gets lowered down into the water. The Batcopter is going. Mm-hmm. Robin's flying the Batcopter. He's on the what do you call it? That rope ladder, because they almost got lowered down onto the ship.
Is it a bat ladder?
It is the bat letter. Thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it. It's the proper title.
Bat in front of whatever he's using. The bat cycle.
Luckily, we've got you here to help me remember. So he gets lowered in the water because the ship is actually a hologram or something. And so when they pull him back out of the water, he's got a big rubber-looking shark that he's fighting with. And then, like, he reaches into his utility belt and sprays it with the bat shark repellent. And everyone's like, oh, it's so fake looking. And then once it falls off and hits the water, it explodes because it was actually a rubber bomb shark. It was a mechanical shark. Yeah.
That worked out well.
A bomb bomb.
I bet it actually wasn't shark repellent. It was probably an axe.
Probably.
And I just, what was it you said?
Axe deodorant body spray. It chokes out sharks.
Chokes out sharks.
I feel like I should be involved in their ad campaign.
And I was thinking that was the scene that was while they were on the buoy in that movie. But
oh, that's later on.
That's later. Yeah, that's later on. And it's still more crazy. Utility belt shenanigans.
It's a good movie. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's on DVD.
It's weird. When I was a kid, I used to watch that. I forget what channel it came on, but I would watch
19.
All. Thank you. For all of our listeners at home, it was on channel 19. Remember.
I watched it too.
Yeah, but I doubt you had the same cable system that I did.
Well, I might have because we were both in Dayton. I don't think I had the same cable system as all of our listeners.
There was like four cable companies in Dayton back in the 80s and 90s.
Also, I guess it would be the 90s. They would show the old Batman TV show and the Green Hornet on like the Action Channel,
which used
to exist. Oh, I would say this was the Action Channel.
The Family Channel or something like that.
And not even on Sci-Fi they've shown it.
Not the Fox Family Channel, like the old like...
Family Channel, always just Family.
With like Maniac Mansion and...
I think I had that. They played it on Channel 19. I know.
Everything was on Channel 19.
Weren't we supposed to be talking about Dragon Age?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Batman, our listeners love Batman.
Batman was relevant.
Yeah.
Why don't the villains, join up and ally together all the time?
On Batman?
Yeah.
Okay, let's discuss this, because watching Batman the Animated Series growing up, and this in general for other, movies that have been made of, comic book characters or, animated versions of them, I love to see alliances between the villains. Mm-hmm. I think it sets, it gives you a sense of this real world, this real city. So in any of the movies, it's always like Batman versus one of his villains. And then he kills the villain at the end or disables them. So Batman never kills
the villain.
Well, you know what I mean? They never come back.
He kills him in Arkham.
Yeah, they never come back.
Not in the comics, but in the movie, in these movie versions that people make.
That's true. I mean, they die at the end.
Yeah. And frustratingly enough, the only one that they never happened to was the Dark Knight. He actually gets caught and gets sent, or it's implied he gets sent to Arkham. And then, you know. Yeah. For reals, not for play plays.
Which, yeah, that stinks. At the beginning of The Dark Knight, you see the return of Scarecrow. He comes back, and I got really excited over that, because mm-hmm. I was like, finally, more than one villain per movie. More than one, villain. Maybe they'll work together, or maybe, it adds this dimension. And then, he's in it for the intro as if, just a cameo, and then he's gone, so... I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Talking about Scarecrow, that's actually a villain that I would have liked to... I would like to see him in more Batman stuff.
Me too. I love him.
Especially Cillian Murphy. Yeah, he's really creepy. And Cillian Murphy was perfect as him, I thought.
Yep.
I don't think they did the character justice, but I would like to see more of that.
I would have loved to see him in that movie more, mm-hmm. Just to add that extra dimension of him. And in general, I remember in the animated series and in the comics, you would see multiple villains working together against Batman or creating alliances or, I would just love to see that in a superhero movie.
Me too. I've been reading Batman No Man's Land by Greg Rucka, who's one of my favorite comic writers. In it, there was a massive outbreak or something like that. I can't remember why essentially Gotham devolved into madness, and everybody sectioned off. They got completely isolated from the rest of the country, and everybody, the villains and the police and Batman, sectioned off portions of Gotham. So you've got the boys in blue who are running the southern part of Gotham, and Penguin who's running part of it, and Two-Face is running part of it, and Batman who's running part of it. And there were all these weird alliances between say Penguin and Two-Face to ally against Batman, and then they double cross each other as villains are wont to do. And it was really, really good. I would like to see more of that.
I would love to see... Actually, I kind of want to read that now. That sounds really fantastic. Really
good. Rucka also wrote Batwoman, the new Batwoman comic, which is really, really good. And the art is some of the best art that I've ever seen in comics.
I'm not very familiar with Batwoman other than there was a movie... Basically, an animated movie that was fairly recent where it was Batwoman broke down to be three different characters playing Batwoman. And she had the same, mask that they put on Terry McGinnis. And Todd and I argue about this. How can they talk You know, like, there's no... I don't know. I don't really care for that style of...
Basically, instead of, like, the bat cowl where you can see his lips and stuff move, it's a mask that goes down all the way, except there's a cutout for the... It's just not realistic looking. It's weird.
It's
what was that called?
I don't... that movie?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
All right.
But it's kind of like...
We're going to figure it out. Jumpdriveradio.com. Check the forum. Someone
will put something on there. Yeah. But it's like the Deadpool style mask, but I don't know.
But the new Batwoman is Kate Kane.
Okay.
And she's really cool. She reminds me a lot of Batgirl back when, you know, before Oracle and all that. But it's, you know, obviously a completely different character. She's really, really good. And the art is just amazing.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you really, really like it.
You guys are talking about, not to bring it back to the Batman thing, but you guys are talking about bat villains teaming up. Why did the bat villains always try to do things themselves? Why didn't they actually just hire good goons? Or, like, I guess, instead of goons, it almost, I guess, like, hired guns? There's got to be mercenaries or, like, bounty hunters.
Like a Boba Fett.
Like a Boba.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly.
Way to bring it all around.
Wait a second. Speaking of...
I can see the face that Todd makes when he plays that every single week.
Wears me out.
Exhausted.
You're getting better, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, it's actually, I'd probably buy a CD.
Todd the Fox says Star Wars. Star Wars Kazoo, the album.
Todd the Fox as John Williams.
So, just in case you guys don't know what's going on, I'm sure you do. Remember the previous four episodes where we talked about Star Wars movies? Well, we're up to episode 5. We are revisiting all of the Star Wars movies, and episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
And they struck back.
They sure enough did.
They struck back hard.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone got struck back hard as Luke.
Man, like, beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, he's struck broken and bloody.
Right in the hand.
Well, part of that's his fault for jumping down a hole without a plan. He
was not going to cave to the dark side of the Force.
He thought about it, though. That's...
Yeah, but he didn't.
I still want to let Vader give me a hand. Like, let him think.
Give me a hand. What?
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then let him think, like, sure, I'll do this father-son picnic with you or whatever. And then, like, now that I'm not on this thing with nowhere to go, I'm out. You know, something better than jumping down that hole.
By the way, she did say father and son picnic. Let's not gloss over
we
that.
We can rule the galaxy's father and son.
Picnic on the spice mines of Naboo.
Oh,
that's right.
On the spice girls of Naboo.
Okay, so I... it was you, Amber, that said it was a direct reference to Dune with the spice mines and all that. Did you get this direct reference when they're in... They go into the asteroid field. They park the Millennium Falcon. And then they stand there and they start noticing a little bit of rumble, a little bit of earthquakes. And then they're like, well, let's go out. We'll put these breathing masks on and go out into space outside of the ship. No helmet, so their eyeballs would have been sucked out. But luckily, it's not actually space or an asteroid. It's actually the belly of a giant worm-like creature. Right.
Yeah.
Except, isn't that basically
not
like...
a sandworm.
Right, yeah.
It looked a lot like a sandworm.
Yeah.
Space worm.
Yeah, space worm.
Which makes sense.
Really? I mean, there's a lot of...
No, it doesn't.
There's a lot of ripoffs. I mean, a lot of Dune, either homages or ripoffs. At what point does it become a ripoff instead of an homage?
It's a good question.
I thought that was more of a copy.
Four references?
It's definitely somewhere before the lawsuit.
Yes.
But
right before.
Frank Herbert? He's dead, and his kid is such a bad writer, he probably can't write the legal brief to sue him, so...
That's why he's going to be the Dune estate.
The Dune estate.
I was noticing some of the differences in the original version to the remastered version. One of the things was I thought the Wampa on Hoth was, like, the scene with the Wampa was a lot more graphic than I remember it being. Where he's tearing apart the Tauntaun and he loses the arm. It felt, I don't know, either I don't remember it being that gory or it was gorier.
He was definitely scarier than I remember. That visceral... Weird, like, and even though he looked Muppety, he was like a vicious looking Muppet. I don't know. Can you have a vicious Muppet?
Apparently, you can.
But I mean, it was cool looking.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like with the horns that curled around the side. Yeah.
I mean, that was good.
And it was original. He didn't copy, at least that I know of.
Yeah. I wish he could have just killed the poor thing instead of cutting off its arm like every other character in the Star Wars
series. I'm pretty sure
this is getting dull.
Well, think about it. That poor Wampa creature is now has to hunt where there's no life hardly at all with one arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be
like
much...
Like, it's not a hard enough life for a Wampa.
Right. It just seems like it'd be a little more merciful just mm-hmm. to go ahead and...
Especially because that whole base of rebels left, and now there's, you know, they're not riding Tauntauns out into the middle of the
yeah.
the tundra, and they're not, there's no, you know, humans wandering out to get killed.
How many rebels do you think got snagged by them?
10.
Yeah, I had to, yeah. I mean, it's like the official base, right? Like
yeah,
the rebel,
it was, yeah.
the Rebel Alliance, that was their official main hideout, right?
Yeah.
And...
It's got to be happening all the time.
At the very least, a couple, just so like someone right never comes back. Like I don't know.
He was over there last
I
saw him.
Go? Let's go check it out.
yeah, and they actually were like they were saying, "Oh no, I mean he just hasn't checked in yet." And the guy who was the deck inspector or whatever, it's like, "Oh no, he might have checked in over at the other side of the base." I don't know. Whatever. We don't have a computer system.
Rebels,
we're waiting now.
It's not like we chart faster than light travel with
yeah.
with interstellar spaceships.
Why didn't they just like hit their just ask for a computer and ask where someone was located?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because that would have been Star Trek. And
one thing I thought that was no gorier than I remembered it being, but it had different images than I remembered it being. When Han cuts open the Tauntaun and his guts spill out, and he like shoves Luke in there. When I was a kid, I remember thinking that his guts looked like macaroni, but now watching it this time, I thought his guts looked like blown up condoms. So
there's maturity.
Yeah. way to ruin Star Wars.
Like,
brain.
If you were sitting there watching the movie with yourself, you'd be like, no, honey, that's not macaroni, that's actually condoms.
Exactly. And I really wanted Han to, like, give Luke a kick to get him up in there.
Yeah. I know. How hard must it be to shove, a almost dead person into a dead thing?
Yeah.
I know. So, Han really had a hold on it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Han did have a hold on it.
Okay, this is another thing we noticed, is that several times throughout the movie, Han or Han Solo is referred to as Han and Han. So what is the proper pronunciation? I was always told it was Han. But Leia refers to him as Han, Lando refers to him as Han, and so does C-3PO.
But Luke says Han.
But Luke says Han.
Right.
And Chewie says Han.
Okay!
Also, do you guys remember that time that Luke and Leia made out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like Angelina and whatever her brother's name is.
It's, like, awkward for everybody in the room except, like, watching it and knowing, like, weird.
I don't know. I feel like we did everything right, but... It's just like kissing my brother.
The Force is telling me this is sinful and wrong for some reason. Since we're both, you know, sort of kind of Force sensitive, I feel like one of us should have known that this is of the devil and we should stop.
Laser brains? Yes.
Laser brains. That is one of the...
That's one of the insults. Yeah. You know, the thing about Scruffy Nerf Herder, if the damn band hadn't called themselves that, that scene wouldn't have been totally ruined, but it takes you out of the movie now.
It really does. Now you just
and with all the pop culture yeah, but laser brains.
Laser brain was one I had not noticed before, and that's one of the things that Leia calls Han.
Han.
Yeah, thank you.
Who?
Yeah, I feel like that should happen on occasion. Who? What?
Yeah, she calls him a laser brain. I don't even know what that means. I would think that was a good thing.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Have laser focus. Or,
your synapses.
Or as we like to call it, Asperger's.
Or Asperger's.
Weird.
Lovely. Wow. Your synapses are firing laser fast in your brain.
Did anyone else think that Lando was kind of like a ladies' man? Or
he was a total creeper.
Yeah, he was really working.
He was trying, yeah.
He was like, hey. You're looking really beautiful.
Oh, no, you didn't miss the part where he first says, who's that?
This?
Yeah, like right in front of her.
I'm right here.
What is this piece of meat that you've brought me?
Like, hey, baby, after I betray you, maybe we could get lunch.
I'll take you to the clouds, comma city.
Oh, wow. Okay, one of the things that I found on the interwebs today, and so I know it's true, were the side-by-side remastered versus original cuts of what the Emperor looked like. And in the remastered, they put in the shots of the new guy from the...
Right, yeah.
From 1, yes. 2, and 3. They put him in, put his face in as the Emperor. But in the original versions, the Emperor's face, was a woman who, and they had superimposed chimpanzee eyes over her eyes.
I don't remember that.
I did not either. But I remember the emperor being a lot scarier. Well, that's why. Chimpanzee eyes.
Mm. Which are scary, naturally.
Yes. Yeah, chimps are really scary.
I think they're adorable, and I want
are
one.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I want to dress one up like a little person.
They make good co-pilots.
They kill people, and they eat. They will rip out your
chimps?
Eyes. Yes.
Like the cute little...
Yes.
I don't believe you.
There's literally a woman who was, like, literally had her face and hands ripped off by a monkey, by a chimpanzee.
Yeah,
which I guess is...
Maybe I'm thinking of monkeys.
She had had the chimpanzee for more than 15 years, had lived with her, and one day it just attacked her and her friend.
Huh.
She had to stab it to death with a butcher knife.
With a butcher knife?
Yes, because it ripped her friend's face off.
Worst birthday ever.
There was a couple that had raised these, I don't know, stray chimpanzees for several years and gave them to whatever it is that you give exotic animals to, like a little exotic animal zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to visit them one day, and the chimpanzees attacked the husband and bit off his fingers and bit off his genitals and ripped out one of his eyes.
Sounds like good.
They're so much
Star
like
Wars.
Us.
They are. They're
so
like
us. People. I keep thinking of like all those, you know, monkey chimpanzees, you know, when you see them with a cigar or in a little suit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. Like, my heart flutters.
With a gun.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't give them a gun. Apparently, they're vicious.
Yoda kind of looks a little bit like a monkey, though.
He does.
You know, I'm frustrated about the whole Yoda thing with him just showing up and being like this Loki character, like the trickster character, and like basically, once again, Jedi lying to... It's another
yeah.
example of a Jedi misrepresenting the truth.
Jedi rhymes with lie.
Jedi lie.
Yoda looks a little bit like a monkey, though. And also, that was an actual reference.
Yoda looks a bit like a monkey.
Like a frog-monkey hybrid of some kind. When you like, the way that he's little, you know, I could see, like, a chimpanzee and, like, that kind of figure. Like, the way his feet look, too.
Yeah.
A little bit, but definitely...
Okay, so he had the four toes. I don't know if you noticed when he was on his knees digging through the little Rebel Alliance ice chest that they apparently keep on the ship. Every X-Wing has one. It's like your college dorm room.
Here's your cooler.
Here's your cooler. So, no, but his feet have, like, the four toes that are, like, you know, perfectly square toes. I remember seeing something on the internet of someone making a big deal about how his feet are represented in different ways and different figurines throughout like, you know, the 30 years of Star Wars.
I never noticed that they were any different than that, to be honest.
Well, I actually, because of that stupid internet thread, I actually was paying attention when I saw his feet, and when he hops up there, I was like, oh my god, look at his feet. There's four toes, and they go in a square pattern. That's like the fifth different way I've seen him. Oh!
How do you think he fires a blaster?
With his feet?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder... I mean, it seems like he
doesn't
get
ever fire a blaster.
I thought he did in Clone Wars, or Clone...
No, he just has the little lightsaber toothpick.
Okay.
Which brings me another thing. Going back to the prequels, I feel like there's a huge change in Yoda versus how I remember him as a kid. And going back and watching this movie, you know, Yoda's... different.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not just because of age. Like, he's a different character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that, like, playful, like, trickster god, like, that Loki kind of persona where he shows up and apparently misrepresents the truth. Like, I'm finding out that Jedis, apparently, they are noble, but they don't have to tell the truth all the time for some reason.
And if they can, like, get free shit.
Yeah,
If they don't tell the truth, they can get free stuff.
Yeah, he ate all his food, and he's like, no, he'll show up. Let me have another candy bar.
Yeah, no, I'm starving.
Those rations were supposed to last a month.
He's living on this swamp planet. I mean, he probably doesn't get too many visitors. So, I mean, that...
Except for
Kit Kat or whatever he had. It probably tasted pretty damn good.
No, I see what you're saying, but I guess I'm trying to hold him to the fact that he used to be the head of the Jedi Council, but now he's lived in the swamp for 20 years, which, by the way...
Swamp madness.
Maybe that's what it is. The only way we're going to get to the bottom of this is when we have Fanboy Rebuttal Day.
Yes.
Yes.
So here in a few weeks, we're actually going to have the Star Wars super fan. We'll be introducing him when he comes on, but he will be answering all of our unanswered questions. He will explain the entire Star Wars universe to us.
There's a good chance he's going to yell at us.
I think we're hyping him up a little bit. I don't really think he knows all that much.
Well, that's good. That's good in our favor because... you know, we're going to be letting him try and rebut the obvious inconsistencies in the Star Wars universe. So, if he doesn't know what he's talking about, then we'll get another fanboy on here. See,
that's right.
Throw it at us. I don't care.
Week after week after week.
Jump Drive Radio will degenerate into just Star Wars radio.
No, that is not happening.
Constant Star Wars stories.
Well, anyway, that the reason that Yoda's feet changed is due to a sort of kind of swamp evolution that occurs only on planet Bloody Blob.
Absolutely not. Just because, a midget from California wrote a couple movies, we are not changing the podcast.
But really, though, who would sit and notice that they changed his feet around?
Well, apparently they were comparing the different, like, toys and figurines and like representations to the movie and, you know, like, the animated series and things like this. I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, the long and the short of it is that I felt like this was actually a bit... Empire Strikes Back was a much better, more cohesive story than... the other movies have been so far.
I agree. Yes. Definitely agree.
I do not.
You really don't.
I do not. No, it's three distinct stories that should have taken... I don't know. I feel like they tried to cram too much in it because you've got the whole opening scene on the ice planet. Mm-hmm. And you know, we see that not only are there Star Destroyers, there's also the Super Star Destroyer. And then, you know, they show up with all this awesome the little dangly leg probes and stuff, and then, you know, have the big battle with, you know, the AT-AT walkers, AT-AT walkers, or whatever you say.
I thought was a cool sequence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different feel than when they're on the muddy Dagobah mud swamp planet, and Luke is having hallucinations inside of a tree, apparently, and somehow cutting off his own Vader head.
It's me!
But the film stock even looks different to me. I don't know. I feel like you could almost make a whole movie out of the ice planet Hoth section, because we have them scouting out, keeping an eye out for, you know, any Imperial probes, I guess is how you'd say it.
Yeah.
Then he has the adventure with the Wampa. Then Han comes out and saves him, and then they go back, and then somehow they find a probe, and then somehow the entire fleet shows up, and then they destroy the probe, which triggers the...
awareness of the fleet?
Yeah, I guess they know they're coming.
Which causes Vader to choke out yet another officer. I loved watching him rampage in this movie.
that is true. He was much, much more imposing in this film than the other one.
Right.
Yeah, Vader was sort of genuinely scary in this one. This is the first time we've seen that.
Yeah.
But the... if you remember, that's not the reason he chokes him out. The Rebel Alliance knows about it because of the probe, but Vader assumes that the old admiral, I can't think of his name, brings the fleet out of hyperdrive too soon.
And that alerts them.
But that's not actually what it is. So if you work it out, Vader actually force chokes that guy to death for no reason.
He's just badass.
Yeah, he's just angry.
In this movie,
jumping to conclusions and angry.
It reminds me of the Kids in the Hall skit with the office worker who goes mad with his moderate amount of power. Like, he really is a, you know, little bit nuts with the amount of power he has. Like, he doesn't care, you know.
And apparently the Emperor doesn't care either. He's like, whatever. Where there's more officers, where that came from.
I know. Who wants to join the Empire? And, you know, what kind of job security is there? And the insurance must be through the roof.
I think they have good benefits.
Oh,
they must. Except for, you know, like, good death benefits.
Your family is taken out, taken care of.
That does open up the him flipping out and force choking people does open up the doorway for my favorite character from the entire Star Wars saga, Admiral Piet.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically, all he does is just be in the right place at the right time when Vader chokes someone down.
I hope he's not going to get choked next.
And like, do you mind choking my boss out? I really need a raise. I mean, my space ran is through the roof. Vader, can you just think?
I've got four kids.
They all need space dental work, and no, they have to go to space school.
Space braces.
Space braces.
They probably need.
One of them isn't a space back brace.
They probably need, like, new hands, I'd assume.
Yeah. Almost definitely. There's got to be at least one hand injury, like, massive hand injury between each family.
We should work out how many characters there are, and then how many characters lose hands or arms, and figure out what the percentage of space workman's comp claims there are in the Empire.
Yeah, I think there's probably like standard health, and then eyes, and then the dental, and then probably hand.
Yeah, like, well, accidental death and dismemberment.
I would almost say it's like its own little category just for hands.
Dismemberment.
Yeah.
Hands are Hans.
Hands are Hans. Which, it would surprise me if that's why they kind of go back and forth.
Why?
Like, Hans, I think, is more distinguishable than Hans, because they can say, give me a hand. He might get confused thinking Harrison's up rather than... you need to pick the hand, maybe? I don't know. I'm kind of... throwing it out there.
There's also a lot of British characters in this, so you know when a British character loses their hand, they loses their haunt. They lose their haunt.
Yeah. I lose my
Misa loses my haunt.
Oh, goodness gracious, no.
I'm going to stop this before this gets out of hand. No, but okay, after watching Empire, there's a lot of it feels fast-forwarded, and it feels like they hit too many, there's too much stuff going on once again, but I will be honest, I love Han Solo's character. He really comes into his own on this one. Like, he was good in the last one, you know, but he really is developed as a character. I would honestly watch an entire movie based on, like, his backstory or something like
that. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's very fleshed out. His interaction with Leia is, like, it feels like a real relationship to me. You know, the growth stages of a relationship, and I love them together.
It's definitely a lot more believable than the Anakin thing Amidala, or whatever her name is, Padme.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's real to see them, the way that they bicker back and forth, and you see the development of a relationship, whereas we just discussed how we didn't really understand what she saw in him or why she saw anything in him and why, boom, all of a sudden they were in love.
Yeah, so, but you can totally see it with Han and Leia.
Exactly.
I mean, they have a...
Even when they just look at each other.
Yeah.
It's this weird smoldering...
When he's going down into, you know, to be encased in carbonite, and they're just... Their gaze is totally locked on each other. I mean, it's hot, it's really good, it's... You know, it seems like they've got an actual give and take.
I love you!
I know.
Well, even his scenes with Lando, like the... I don't know, like the kind of the backstory that they have, or like... You know,
Piling around,
jabbing back and forth. Like, man, I'm gonna want to know what happened. I want to like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would watch an entire Lando, Han movie
back in the day.
I mean, I think he as an actor made that character just, I don't know, kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know what's really amazing? I like Mark Hamill or not, but definitely Harrison Ford and definitely Billy Dee Williams. Like, all these, like, they were unknown, relatively unknown actors before this series,
right?
And I don't know if the casting director was just better in the 70s and 80s or what, but like the unknown Hayden Christensen.
Is still unknown Hayden Christensen.
That's a good point.
He did that jumper movie.
What?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like where little kids are wearing terrible clothes or what?
No.
Yeah, and Samuel L. Jackson was in that with him again.
Stick it up, get jumper.
Oh, and he's pretty much in everything.
Lovely.
Yeah, I don't think Samuel L. Jackson turns down roles.
Who you play, Samuel L. Jackson with a different name? All right.
You got a purple lightsaber, bitch.
No, even Mark Hamill is better on this one.
Yeah, yes. I think possibly though. Had lessons.
Yeah, he definitely had lessons. Even the scene everyone makes fun of him for, it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be.
No,
that's impossible. No. Why?
That's a hard scene to even, I think, to get into character for, though. Having your hand cut off and then finding out he's your dad, that would be a hard thing to prepare for. I mean, no one really would know how that felt. I don't know. His face obviously was upset and yelled out some expletives.
Possibly, you know, the whole scene, once again, feels rushed. I feel like there was a lot that just happened just now. Maybe there was stuff that was cut out. Maybe there were expletives and things that just didn't...
Made it more PG-13.
That could be.
Well, that's possible, but I think if I was backed into a corner, basically, like, on this little platform over this, you know, huge hole, basically, my hand just got lopped off by my dad, I just found out, is still alive and is also the guy I'm trying to bring down, I think I'd be a little overly emotional myself. You know, that's an upsetting, overwhelming situation to be put in.
You know, if you think, he just accepts that, by the way.
I still wouldn't jump down that hole.
No. If this big scary man that's been chasing you across the galaxy says, by the way, I'm your daddy.
That's what? Really unlikely.
No, you're not. My dad was...
How did he not laugh then? Can I get a hand over here, Pops?
That would have been a knee slapper, well, you know.
Yeah, he kind of did. I mean, he gave it a little bit like, no. Okay, maybe it is true. Like, maybe his force told him, but I would find it more believable if, like, Maury Povich popped out.
He is the daddy.
He is the daddy. And then, like, they continued on. But other than his force telling him that that is his dad, that's the only thing I can think of in terms of explanation.
He does say, you know, like, you feel it to be true and you know it to be true.
I mean, right.
maybe he felt it to be true.
So the force probably makes you more sensitive to liars, or, you know.
Which makes them better liars.
Yes.
Which
maybe that's,
the Yoda thing.
There you go.
the Yoda thing, the Qui-Gon thing. There's a bunch of liars in the Jedi.
Search your feelings. You know it to be... You know, that's something I did notice about Empire Strikes Back. The whole movie, almost, is quotable.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the Nerf herder line, or, I thought they smelled bad on the outside, or... the whole thing is either do or do not.
There's no try. It's very soundbitey.
The whole movie is.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem a lot... I think out of all of them, it probably has the most soundbites.
A lot of Yoda's big quotes are from this movie, which kind of brings me back to the differences between him and the last movie. His speech patterns are totally... different and less distracting in this
one. I don't want to be the one to point this out, but Frank Oz, I think, was the one who did the voice and didn't he die of...
No, Jim Henson died. Frank Oz is still alive.
Oh, he's still alive, okay.
Yeah. Well, even that is... Miss Piggy's voice, which is remarkably similar to Yoda's.
Yoda sounds like Fozzie the Bear.
Waka waka waka?
I'm good, Smiley.
Which is a precursor to Wookie Wookie Wookie. Wookie.
So, but you know what I mean, though?
Yeah. It's
like in the 1, 2, and 3... Yoda's backwards talking is a little over the top and kind of distracting. And going back through these movies and watching, you know, an Empire Strikes Back, Yoda, you know, he's a little puppet, he's adorable, and he's, like he said, kind of a Loki type trickster character, but his speech patterns are a lot more similar to the way that we're used to. I mean, in some ways he still has like the backwards, you know, sentence structure, but in a lot of ways it's actually a lot easier to follow and it's more natural sounding to me, because it's like they're trying to make him sound weird in the other movies.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel right.
I agree.
Well, they're playing to the fanboys is all it is in the other movies. It's the same thing as like Yoda mention, oh, this is my hairy buddy Chewbacca. That's unnecessary playing to the fanboys.
Right, absolutely.
Or, hey, look, Anakin built this one translator robot that, by the way, we see an identical translator robot that stumbles out of a door.
Yeah. Coincidentally.
Maybe he built it from a kit.
It's like a erector set.
Like a kit bot.
Yeah.
Kit bot.
A space erector set.
Space.
That's what Leia is.
Whoa.
What? Now, if C-3PO wanders in this room...
Let's give her a hand.
He wanders in this room, and he sees all these stormtroopers, and he starts doing this stupid C-3PO babble, you know, that's kind of similar to the Lisa Bunny babble, like, where he just talks way too much, you know, and, oh dear, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, don't get up, you know, that kind of thing. If he had just acted like, no, I'm with the other guy who just left, you know, and just turned around and walked out, he probably wouldn't have gotten...
Was she in here before?
Yeah, he wouldn't have got blowed up if he'd have just kept his mouth shut, I feel like. You know what I mean, do you agree? Like,
no, I see what you're saying.
Because stormtroopers must look at droids as, you know, they're a dime a dozen on the ship. They're going to be wandering in and out. He's way less noticeable than, say, one of the, you know, guys they're there to capture. Like,
he talks too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where he stands out.
Possibly the stormtroopers didn't realize all you have to do to shut up a translator droid is put your hand over its mouth hole.
Yes, which is what Han Han did in the beginning.
Han Han?
It's like, shut up, C-3PO. That's just a speaker, douchebag.
I would be beating up on the droids, all the headbutting them and stuff.
Yeah, except apparently they can feel pain, because C-3PO seems to indicate that he can feel pain.
That's right, when he's getting his feet worked on.
Yeah, he's getting...
Well,
yeah.
Luke was feeling some pain, too, and they had his reconstructive surgery.
That's true, but he's bionic. The other guy's just a robot.
Which brings us back to, why would you build something that's a robot, or if somebody was going to rebuild my hand, I might want, like, some kind of censorship in that... Censorship. I would want to be able to feel stuff. I would want to know what's going on, so that when I'm feeling up on people with my new hand, that I know, you know, I'm not going to
responding.
Yeah, I don't want to leave my hand, like, on the burner and not feel the pain and then have to go buy another hand. You know, I understand that a little bit. Why would they build a droid that can feel pain?
Yeah.
Like,
why would they build a droid that won't shut up?
True. So, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, the...
Oh, dear.
All pain is just a register in your brain as an intense signal. And it's all a signal that says, hey, your device is being destroyed. So when we say pain, possibly it's not actually what humans think of or perceive as pain. Possibly it's just a lot of ones and zeros that come sequentially instead of a few ones and zeros.
That's true.
And it's just like an alarm or something.
So it's just, he notices that R2-D2 is doing something that's not registering correctly.
Right, and it's possibly destructive, and it makes him stop!
Because that's what he's been downloaded to say or whatever. Like,
right,
that's what,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Good lord, we've redorculated.
But as a movie overall, it's probably my favorite, in all honesty. I kind of like how it's dark.
Yeah, mine too.
It definitely is dark. The whole torture scene, when they strap Han to the table and then put him onto the electric hotbed, I guess. Yes. I don't know what that is, but...
It's a tanning booth.
It's a tanning booth with a busted...
Yeah.
With busted light bulbs. And he's, like, screaming and whining. And then... They don't even actually ask him any questions.
Yeah, they're just torturing him for fun.
Let's just hurt him. Just rough him up.
Yeah. And I felt like at the end of this one, I really just wanted to go. I wanted to go and watch Return of the Jedi right away.
Me
yeah.
too. And I mean, I'm glad I did. Fought the urge to do that because that's next week. And then this week, I wouldn't be as focused on this movie. But I really want to see what happens next.
Yeah,
and I
too.
Didn't get that feeling from the other movies. Yeah. I was just kind of like, it was homework.
Yeah. but this one, I was really, you know, I really wanted to put in Jedi immediately.
I'll be honest with you. I'm excited for Jedi.
Yeah, me too.
Just for the fact that Luke shows up in his all black uniform, and he's possibly evil, possibly good. Who knows? But he's not taking prisoners.
That's right.
He's done.
That's right.
He's got his hand cut off, and now he's pissed. By the way, they put a really good looking hand on him, and then he wears a black glove. The rest of the
does he only wear one black glove?
I would show off his.
Like Michael Jackson. I guess Michael Jackson had a white glove.
Well, he was popular.
Well, that
at
would
the
make
time.
Sense because you know
is he black or white?
He was bionic.
Yeah, well, but Luke was white and he wears a black glove. Sorry, Nick. Didn't mean to cut you off with a borderline racist joke.
Maybe the craftsmanship wasn't as nice as it was led to believe.
Okay, so what we need to pay attention for is how much time passes between Empire and Jedi. Because if it's like 5 years, possibly that hand doesn't actually... It looks good at the end of Empire, but like 5 years later, it's like yellowed and rubbery looking.
Yeah.
How does it lubricate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. You've got all those little...
Get like a hand oil changes. Yeah, maybe.
Well, I guess what we're saying here is if you want to stay up with us, we've got one more movie to go. This week we are going to be watching Return of the Jedi.
We're all very excited about it.
Yes, we are. So
followed almost directly by The Fanboy Strikes Back.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
At the Jump Drive crew.
Return of the Fanboy.
Fanboy rebuttal coming up after we finished our Star Wars saga. So I'm stoked. I'm so excited. Going to destroy him.
Well, please keep your calendars marked, jumpdriveradio.com. Join us for the Gem City Comic Con, April 3rd. Also, possibly, we'll be putting some kind of trip together to Dragon Con, it looks like. We'll be talking about that. Also, there's some exciting things coming down the line, possibly maybe even a live broadcast. So, for Amber, Nick, Lisa, my name is Todd, saying...
Return.
Check out next week's episode at jumpdriveradio.com.